Our reading will be taken from Ephesians chapter number 2, starting at verse number 8. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life." Amen. I want you to turn to your neighbor. When you turn to your neighbor, give him a little swag as you turn to him. Because when you say this to him, you want them not to get it twisted. Amen? Amen. So look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor,
I did not do it.
Neighbor,
I did not do it.
Amen. You may be seated. We have entitled our message this morning, "I Did Not Do It." Now, I know when you go and read the blog, it's going to say, "I didn't do it." That just didn't sound as good saying it out loud. So, the sermon, the title, "I Did Not Do It." You know, we got kids back behind me who are singing. And these kids behind me got parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles. They done did something. Or let me rephrase that. Something happened around the house. And the first thing, you go and ask them. And they tell you, "Wasn't nobody in there but them. But they ain't do it." Oh, hallelujah. Oh, we're just having some fun for a second. Amen. What I want to talk about is something we did do. What did we do? What we did is that we allowed our innocence to be taken away. We allowed the purity of who we are to be snatched. We allowed love, joy, and peace, which used to hang with us, to all of a sudden be taken. And just, and it's gone. Well, Pastor, how did all this happen? It's called sin, y'all. Sin had anchored itself on us. The enemy was the one who enticed us to sin. The enemy can't force any of us to sin. Because if we're forced to do it, we didn't do it. So it's an enticement that he brings to our attention. And once we connect with it, it's a weight that just continues to pull us down. Innocence, purity, love, joy, peace are some of the things that are pulled because of sin. And many of us are still in the recovery room from the sins we have committed. Because you know how when you come out of surgery, if anybody's ever been in surgery, when they first bring you out, they take you into the recovery room. And the purpose of being in the recovery room is that they want to make sure all your vitals are okay. And that you have woke up and you know what's going on. Then they wheel you back to your room. But if you are a child of God, we're going to help you, Sister Sarah, clear up today. Yeah. so that you no longer have to stay in the recovery room. Because the Lord has done something for us. You see, and when we look at Ephesians, and as you read, and I encourage you, go back and read this chapter. Start at verse 1 and just read all the way through. But we're bringing attention to chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Because what we're seeing there is what Paul talks about a little earlier, starting at verse number 4. He tells us that our God is rich in mercy and that he loves us because sin had grabbed a hold of us and we were dead in our sins. It's a weight that has been lifted. Now, as we look at this, y'all, the question is posed from one or two aspects. Is Paul sharing this with the Ephesians because of his own life experiences? Or is he sharing this with the Ephesians because of what someone came and shared with him about what was happening in Ephesus? It could be one or two. I'll let you choose. But one of the things that we have to know, he starts off saying in verse number 8, in the beginning of verse 8, he says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." I got to stop right there. It's for by grace. Grace is God's unmerited gift. It's a gift that I didn't deserve, you didn't deserve, but God gave it to us anyway. He gave us the grace so that we can be what? Saved. Through what? Faith. So in essence, it's left up to us to receive what God has for us and embrace it. Because truth be told, God ain't have to show us and give us grace. Why? Because this world was breaking God's heart. You know why? Folks say it's about the offenses toward. No, it ain't about offenses towards a law. It's offenses towards the love of God. Because if God did all that he did for us, he did it all through what? Love. And it goes back to Genesis chapter 1. We preached about that back in January, but the one thing I want us to see is that it took God 6 days to create everything here on heaven and earth, on earth, I should say. And as he created all this stuff here on earth, every time after each day it was done, God said it was good. And on the sixth day, he created animals and did other stuff, and he said that it was good. And then the last thing he created, he went to the dust of the earth, created us from the dust of the earth. And after doing that, God concluded by saying that we were very good. But the one word that is consistent is the word good. And from that, what we see is that we started out good, and then we broke God's heart. And what happened is this. Sin is an offense towards the love of God. I know many folk in here saw the movie A Question of Faith. The key to that movie that I want us to get, we're able to just, if I just need to use this analogy to give you an understanding about how it all happened. You see, the pastor and his wife, their son, was killed by a young lady who was texting while she was driving. Correct? Yeah. Now, the young lady could have had charges pressed against her. And the pastor was the one who finally went and dropped the charges. Because the pastor and his wife, it was their hearts that were broken because of the offense of the young lady. But until they made the decision to forgive her, she would have been locked up. And it's the same way with us and God. Until God made the decision to forgive us, we would have been what? Oh, somebody gonna work with me. Are you gonna work with me this morning? You see? So what you and I have to understand, that God giving us grace is letting us know that God has forgiven us. And if God has forgiven us, we got to learn how to forgive. Oh, somebody going to work with me. I told you we're going to get some folk out of the recovery room. Some folks still in the recovery room. Some folk need to go through the surgery of cleansing and being healed and delivered and set free. But I want you to understand something. It tells us here again in verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. God has been showing us grace because God wants to save us. And the way that we get saved is that we have to hook up and have the faith to believe that the Father is going to do what he said he's going to do. And we have to receive that which he has for us so that the changes can happen in our lives. Anybody working with me this morning? You see, I want you to understand God loves you. If he didn't love you, let me go and show you. He says, for by grace you have been saved through what? Faith. And this is not your own. This is not your own doing. This is not your own doing. I want you to understand, if you're a child of God, you ain't a self-made Christian. You are a Christian because of what the Lord has done for you. You are a Christian because the Lord is the one who has healed, delivered, and set you free. You are a Christian because the Lord saw you at your very worst, but still he gave his very best. You are a Christian because of not anything that you did to earn it. It goes through God forgiving us. And since it was nobody but God, we can't take any credit for what the Lord has done for us. I know right now you don't look like what you've been through. You now look good, got your hair tight, wearing good clothes, driving a decent car, living a decent household, got money in your pocket, got food on your table, clothes on your back. If folk were looking at you, they might think you are living large and in charge. But you understand the only reason why you are where you are is called the grace of God. And if God had not showed you grace and you had not been saved, where in the world would you be? So how in the world can you get it twisted and ever think that it's all about you and not about nobody else? Am I making this up? Are you seeing it right here? He says, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you didn't deserve it. Neither did I. God forgave us. And then God gave us a gift. Do you hear what I just said? Now, do we know who the gift is? His name is. And the Lord gave us Jesus to be the one to bring us over the troubled waters. The one to open the door for us to come into the Father's presence. The one who saw us and told us we are somebody when we thought we was a nobody going nowhere. When I think about the gift that you and I received, I want you to know that, Diggy Booth, that gift don't ever get old. That gift don't ever wear out. That gift never changes what it is. That gift never gets old. It keeps blessing us each and every day. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for my gift. I'm thankful for the blessings. And every time I look at that gift just keep on blessing me. Do anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody can relate to what I'm saying? Anybody are happy that they got the gift from God? Have that gift blessed you? Have that gift shaped you? Have that gift changed you? Somebody ought to say thank you. But look at this. He tells us. Now, we got to tie this in, and then I got to go back to our question we asked earlier. It is the gift of God, not the result of what? Works that no one may boast. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I ain't going to get it twisted. Neither are you. Now, there's an issue. The issue is this. We raised the question, and the question that we raised, and we looked at it from two perspectives. The question that we raised was that, was Paul writing this because of his own experiences, or was Paul writing this because of what was happening there in Ephesus? I tend to lean that Paul was writing this, Rem Rose, because of what must have been happening in Ephesus. Right. You see, what can happen to us as God's people is that, I want you to know, when the Lord starts to bless us, Sister White, and starts doing stuff in us that we thought never could happen in our lives, allow us to be the first African-American, you won the pageant here in Richmond, the beauty pageant. You were the first sister to win the beauty pageant here in Richmond. A few years ago, she's gonna make me pay for that later. But I'm just putting this out there because of the fact that you might not have thought you had a chance, but you said, I'm going to go for it anyway. And God opened the door. You see, what happens is when God starts to bless us, when God starts to elevate us, when God starts to do things in our lives that we thought might not have been possible, when the Lord starts opening doors and the Lord starts taking us to places, we could all of a sudden get the big head, y'all. And when we start getting the big head, we start thinking less about God and start thinking more about ourselves. You see, when I think about the church there in Ephesus, when Paul first went there, I want you to know that none of them folk really knew Jesus. None of them folk were praising him. None of them folk were living right. But once Paul came and proclaimed the gospel there in Ephesus, then the folk came to the Lord. And how did they come? Just the way they were. They was toe up from the floor up. Sin had them all tattered and battered. Sin had them lost in the sauce. Sin had them not able to see how good they could become, because they thought they was a nobody going nowhere. But when the word of God was proclaimed to them, then God started blessing them. Why? Because they received it through faith. They received the grace of God. They received the gift. They opened the gift. They trusted in the gift. That gift never got old, but that gift kept on blessing them. And once they were getting blessed, and now they, as the term goes, they're living high off the hog. They might all of a sudden thinking that they're the ones who created the hog. Oh, somebody gonna work with me. You see, I want you to understand that there's something that we got to be careful for. Everybody say danger. There's a danger in the church. The danger in the church is when the church begins to progress, begins to grow, begins to do things they hadn't done before. The church can all of a sudden start looking at, look at us now. Look how far we've come. Look at all the stuff we have. Look at how we're able to do this and do that. And in the saying all that, I want you to know, Mother Austin, I ain't never heard nobody give God the praise. I ain't hear nobody say nothing about Jesus. They were so caught up in themselves and where they were, they forgot where their blessings come from. What Paul was reminding them, I don't care how hard you work for it, who's the one that blessed you to be able to work? I don't care how much you gave for it, who was the one that gave you what you have to give? When you understand that all that you have, it didn't come from you, you ain't have nothing to do with it. When you came and you gave your life to Christ, isn't the Lord the one that did everything for you? Hasn't he blessed you, kept you in good health, kept your mind right, gave you everything that you have? I want you to know, I didn't do it. The problems that occur or can occur in the church, and the reason why God has us sharing this is because we know that God is taking us places. And as God is taking us places, we don't want it just to be a flash, come for a second and go on the next. We are in this for the long haul. We are in this because we want to be about our Father's business. We are not going to go around boasting about who we are and what we got. You see, my brothers and my sisters, when you get into that new sanctuary, don't walk around like you're all out of bag of chips, two sodas and a shake on the side. Because I want you to understand something. It ain't about you. I want you to know you ain't do it. Ain't nobody do it but God. You see, when folk want to come and say, boy, y'all done did something great here. Look at all the we didn't do it. It was God. We want folk to know, yes, we were a willing participant, but it's God who's did all the blessing. We were God's hands and his feet. We were the ones moving forward, but we understand who's the one that woke us up this morning, the one that started us on our way, the one that's blessing us from one day to the next, the one that's keeping us in our right minds, the one that's keeping the blood running warm in our veins. His name is Jesus. We got to give God the glory. So guess what? I didn't. So what Paul wants the church to understand, we ain't boasting about nothing. Because it was a gift from God. I didn't work for it. I can't boast about it. But I want you to know, if I am going to boast, I'm going to boast about how good God is. I'm going to boast about how he can heal, deliver, and set you free. I'm going to boast about how he can make a way out of no way. I'm going to boast about it. I don't care how many doors man shut. God's going to open up another one for you. I'm going to boast about how if you get sick, there's somebody who can heal you. I'm going to boast about if there's no food on your table, put your trust in him. Watch and see what he'll do for you. If I'm going to boast, I ain't going to boast about myself. I'm going to boast about the goodness. Because there's nobody but God. Now, Paul is putting together the framework. We are saved by faith. I mean, we are saved through faith because of God's grace. It is not something that we did, but is what God did. Because God gave us a what? Gift. Not of results of our works or anything for us to boast about. But check out verse number 10. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus. For what? For we are, I'm going to say it one more time, what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus. For what? Do you understand why we need to be born again? Do you understand why Paul says, behold, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Why? Because we understand that you and I have been recreated. God recreated us, and we still look the same. We still sound the same. But there's a change that has arisen. And the change started on the inside of us. And once that change took place on the inside of us, it now becomes evident on how we are living our lives on the outside. You see, because we understand that the Lord made us the way we are. Because we, all of us, have been recreated in Jesus. Because Jesus is the one who came to pay the price for you and I. And since he paid the price for you and I, the Lord is the one that recreated us when we confess with our mouths and believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. And once we did that, that's when the Lord began to do a good work in us. And as that good work began in us, I'm here to tell you that the Lord healed and delivered us and set us free. It is time for those who are still in the recovery room to come out of the recovery room, because the Lord has set you free. Stop holding guilt against yourself. The Lord has already forgiven you. So since God has forgiven you, it's time to go on and forgive yourself. Because I understand you ain't as innocent as you used to be. Neither am I. You're not as pure as you used to be. Neither am I. But I am so thankful that the Lord came and put me back on the right track.
You see, I want you to understand something. Sin derailed the entire world. And what Jesus came was to put us back on the right track. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I am so thankful that the Lord has put me back on the right track. And now that I'm back on the right track, I will not derail myself off that track. It's time to come out the recovery room. It's time to get on the tracks and go forward doing what God has called you to do. Why? Because you understand, I did not. You see, what we got to get is this. Some folk will look at you and remember you back when. And since they remember you back when, all they want to talk about is your when. They don't want to talk about your now. You see, and what you want to do is you might smile at them and say, yeah, that was me. But I want you to know that ain't me no more. I want you to know that my life ain't what it used to be. I'm thanking God for what he brought me from. And when I look at where I am right now, I didn't do it. It was nobody but the Lord. Because if I could have did it, I might be a little bit better off, but it still wouldn't be right. But I know that when I'm in the Master's hands, I know that he has healed me, delivered me, set me free, put me back right, and now I'm on the right track, and I'm just a chugging along. I understand that I'm going to have some trials and tribulations. I understand I might mess up every now and then, but I ain't going to get off track. I'm going to stay on track with the one who put me on this track. I didn't do it. It was nobody but Jesus. Why am I telling you this? I don't care what folk know about what you were. Look at who you are right now. Look at what God has done. Look at how God is blessing you. I'm here to tell you today, my brothers and sisters, that I did not. Look around you right now. Look at the folk around you. Just go on and look at a few folk. And when you look at them, I want you to understand. They don't look like what they've been through. Why? Because the Lord has healed them. Because the Lord has delivered them. Because the Lord has made a way for them. And that's not just them, but that's you as well. Amen? You see, when folk want to come and give you some praise, you're going to stop them right there because you're on the right track. You're going to tell them, I need you to get it right. It ain't about me. It's about God. I did not. You see, so anytime somebody want to come and praise you and thank you about this and about that, you tell them, it's not about me. It was nobody but God because I didn't. But let's deal with this last piece. It's called good works. You see, beforehand, God, this is the way God had established it. When you go back to Genesis, this is how God had established it for us to be about good works. But the enemy was able to connive Adam and Eve and got them off track. And God's been getting us back on track ever since. And now that we are where we are, you see, folk know who we are. Not because we walk around toting the Bible under our arm. Folk know who we are, not because we walk around with a big cross. Folk know who we are, not because of our license plate say, make it happen. I'm a member at Broad Rock. That ain't why folk know who we are. Who we are. Folk know who we are because of the good works that we do. And the good works that we do, we ain't trying to toot our own horn. Because we understand, we know where we've come from. We know how messed up we were. We know that it was nobody but God who made a way out of no way. And the reason why I do good works is because I serve a good God. And since I serve a good God, I'm going to move forward doing good works. Because I know that somebody needs to be healed. Somebody needs to be delivered. Somebody needs to be encouraged. Somebody needs to be helped. Somebody needs to see some joy. Somebody needs to see some love. And the only way that happens is when the people of God move forward doing good. So we're not doing the good works to impress folk. We ain't not doing the good works so they can boast about us. We are doing the good works because we want them to know more about the God whom we serve. So when they want to come and tell us how good we are and how we're this and how we're that, we're going to say, pump the brakes. Let me get you straight right now. I want you to know we thank God because you know what? I didn't do it. I couldn't be where I am right now if it had not been because of God's grace and mercy. If God hadn't saved me, I couldn't do nothing right. And since God has saved me, I'm going to give him the glory, the honor, and the praise. That's how come some folk look at us when we come to church and wonder why we just can't sit still. Wonder why we just can't stop shouting. You don't know where the Lord has brought me from. You don't know how he turned me around. You don't know how he healed me. You don't know how he's dealing with me. You don't know how he's been making a way out of no way. Do I got any witnesses in God's house? Anybody not ashamed to do good work? Because you know you're not doing it to impress. You're doing it out of appreciation of where the Lord has brought you from. Somebody ought to put their head back and say, hallelujah. Why? Because I did not. It was nobody but God. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not something you did. It's a gift from God. Church, why is this prevalent for us? Because God is beginning to elevate us. No, he's already started elevating us. He's just taking us a little higher. And as we get higher, I want you to know the air gets a little thinner. And when you go a little higher, violet, whereas before the enemy was looking at you from a distance, but now he's looking at you say, oh, you starting to make some noise. But he don't care about the noise you make because there ain't nobody responding to the noise. But when you start making noise and folks start responding and they start coming, then all of a sudden the enemy start looking at you like, what? And I want you to understand something. And you know, the enemy start getting a little close, start hanging out a little closer to you. And I want you to understand, don't you be concerned with any of that, because you know what? I didn't do it. And the same God who did what he did in me is the same God who's going to keep that enemy at bay. Because our Lord is the one who builds a hedge around us. And I want you to know that he's the one who continues to elevate us. And even if we stumble or we fall, all we got to do is call on the name of Jesus. And the Lord will make a way out of no way. Anybody had to call on his name since you've been saved? Since you've been all that you've been doing, but you had to call on his name because you stumbled along the way? Didn't the Lord come and see about you? Didn't the Lord make a way for you? I don't know how you're sitting down on him right now, because when you know what he's done, when you know how he did it, you can't help but give him some praise, because I did not. Nobody but God.